నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య.
భాగవతం క్యాంటర్ 4 చాప్టర్ 29 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 46. యదాయస్యానుగ్రహణాతి భగవానాత్మభావితః సజహాతి మతిం లోకే వేదే చ పరినిష్ఠితాం. యదాయస్యానుగ్రహణాతి భగవానాత్మభావితః సజహాతి మతిం లోకే వేదే చ పరినిష్ఠితాం. పరినిష్ఠితాం ఫిక్స్డ్. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord, who bestows his causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the previous verse, those who are in knowledge have been described as unable to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, this verse indicates that those who are followers of the Vedic rituals, as well as those who are followers of fruitive activities, are unable to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In these two verses, both Karmis and Jnanis are described as unfit to understand Him. As described by Srila Rupa Goswami, only when one is completely free from mental speculation and fruitive activity, anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anapritam, can one engage in pure devotional service without being polluted by material desires. The significant word atma bhavitah indicates that the Lord is awakened in one's mind if one constantly thinks of Him. A pure devotee is always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. Savai mana krishna padara bindeho. A pure devotee cannot remain a moment without being absorbed in the thoughts of Supreme Personality of Godhead. This constant thinking of Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita as satata uktanam, always engaging in Lord's service. Bhajatam priti purvakam, this is always engaging in the Lord's service. This is devotional service in love and affection. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it dictates to the pure devotee from within, the devotee is saved from all material activities. Even the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are considered material activities because by such activities one is simply elevated to other planetary systems, the residential abodes of the demigods. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, యాంతి దేవవ్రత దేవాన్ పితృన్యాంతి పితృవ్రత భూతాని యాంతి భూత్యజ్య యాంతి మత్ యజినో పిమాం. దోజ్ హు వర్షిప్ ది డెమి గాడ్స్ విల్ టేక్ బర్త్ అమంగ్ ది డెమి గాడ్స్. దోజ్ హు వర్షిప్ ఘోస్ట్స్ అండ్ స్పిరిట్స్ విల్ టేక్ బర్త్ అమంగ్ సచ్ బీయింగ్స్. దోజ్ హు వర్షిప్ అన్సెస్టర్స్ గో టు ది అన్సెస్టర్స్ అండ్ దోజ్ హు వర్షిప్ మీ విల్ లివ్ విత్ మీ. ది వర్డ్ ఆత్మభావిత ఆల్సో ఇండికేట్స్ that a devotee is always engaged in preaching to deliver conditioned souls. It is said of the six Goswamis, Nana Sastra Vicharanika Nipino Sad Dharma Sangsthapako Lokanam Hitakarino. A pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always thinking of how fallen conditioned souls can be delivered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotee's attempt to deliver fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by His causeless mercy. If a devotee is benedicted by another devotee, he becomes free from karmakanda and jnanakanda activities. As confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Vedesu Durlabham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be realized through karmakanda and jnanakanda. Adurlabham Atma Bhakto, the Lord is realized only by a sincere devotee. This material world is the cosmic manifestation is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the living entities have come here to enjoy themselves. The Vedic instructions guide them according to different regulative principles and intelligent people take the advantage of this instruction. They thus enjoy material life without being disturbed. This is actually illusion, and to get out of this illusion by one's own endeavor is very difficult. The general populace is engaged in material activities, and when people are a little advanced, they become attracted by the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. However, when one is frustrated in the performance of the ritualistic ceremonies, he again comes to material activities. In this way, both the followers of Vedic rituals and the followers of material activities are entangled in conditioned life. These people get the seed of devotional service only by the goodwill of the Guru and Krishna. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. When one is engaged in devotional service, he is no longer attracted to material activities. When a man is covered by different designations, he cannot engage in devotional service. One has to become free from such designative activities, Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam, and become pure in order to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the purified senses. Hrishikena Hrishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. The service of the Lord through the purified senses is called Bhakti Yoga or devotional service. The sincere devotee is always helped by the Super Soul who resides within the heart of every living entity. As Lord Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Tesam Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Pritipurvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenam Amupayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is the stage of becoming free from the contamination of the material world. At such a time, a devotee makes friends with another devotee and his engagement in material activities ceases completely. At this time, he attains the favor of the Lord and loses his faith in material activities, which begins with Varnasrama Dharma. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks clearly of one's becoming liberated from the Varnasrama Dharma, the most exalted system of human civilization. At such a time, one feels himself to be perpetually the servant of Lord Krishna, a position taken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Naham vipra na cha narapatir, napi vaishya na sudra, naham vrini na cha grahapatir, navanastha yatirva, kintu pradayan nikhila paramananda purnamrutabdhir, gopi bharatu pratakamaloyar dasa dasa anudasa. I am not a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya or sudra. I am not a brahmachari, grihastha, vanarpastha or sannyasi. What I am the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. Through the disciplic succession, one can attain this conclusion, which is perfect elevation to the transcendental platform. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord, who bestows his causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. Hare Krishna. So before I start, I would like to take permission and blessings from His Grace Radhanath Prabhu, very senior disciple of Prabhupada, and all the assembled devotees. So today's topic is basically Prabhupada is speaking of how those persons who are engaged in sense gratification and those who are trying to perform Vedic ritualistic, they cannot understand Krishna. There is a very famous scientist in the West. He is a professor, a very high esteemed position, Lucian professor of mathematics at Cambridge. It's a very high position, once held by Newton. He said, "I want to know the mind of God." Although he is thoroughly atheistic, still he says like this. It is not surprising, because we can see how George Harrison, in his Forward to Krishna book, is writing, everyone is looking for Krishna. Some don't realize that they are, but they are. So everyone is looking for Krishna, so it's not surprising. But not everybody gets Krishna. There are basically, say, four or five types of people who are looking for Krishna. One is materialistic people. Of course, they don't know that they are doing. They perform as Vedic rituals, mental speculators, and devotees. And in this particular section, Narada Muni, who is speaking to Prachinivari, he is not speaking about Mayavadis, because Mayavadis were not there at that time, perhaps. And also, Srila Prabhupada is also not speaking of Mayavadis. Why? Because Mayavadis, they don't look for Krishna. They are not searching for Krishna. They think themselves to be Krishna, so there is no need to search. But that is the greatest illusion. To think oneself to be Krishna, that is the grossly foolish thing. Anyway, so we will see one by one these aspects. Materialistic people, performer Vedic rituals, mental speculators, and then coming to devotees. And how these people are not able to see or understand Krishna, and how devotees are favored by the causeless mercy of the Lord. Excuse me. To understand this, we can take the example of Arjun himself in Bhagavad Gita. Arjun appears to behave like a materialistic person. That is because Krishna has put him in that situation. And among various reasons he gave not to fight, one is enjoyment. This is a typical nature of materialistic people. Always their propaganda is to enjoy their senses. And what is the philosophy of these materialistic people is that for the senses, by the senses, or by the senses and for the senses. That is how their enjoyment philosophy is all about. Now Arjuna is speaking that how can I kill these family people, my own people, relatives. This is a typical nature of materialistic people. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, there is a nice verse which says how such people are materialistic. This verse is Dehaptya Kalatradisu Atma Sanyasu Asatsupi Tesam Pramatva Nidhanam Pashyan Apina Pashyati. These materialistic people, they think that the body and whatever is related to body is everything. Like Deha Apta, Deha means body, Apta means children, Kalatra Desu, wife, and everything that is associated with such people. That is the whole relative circle. That is everything in life. And they don't realize that these people for whom he is thinking that happiness is all about, or happiness is surrounding around this circle, is going to fall apart one day. Atma sanyasu asat swapi. Atma sanyasu means fighting soldiers. And they are going to fall down anyway. Asat. Asat means they are not permanent, they are temporary. They are too much attached to fallible soldiers. And therefore, they cannot understand Krishna consciousness, or they cannot understand who Krishna is. Know that there is a need to understand Krishna. All this subject matter cannot touch them. Although they are sufficiently experienced that one cannot get happiness from such circle, still they are kind of hooked to it. Now, Arjuna is similarly attached to his family life, to his relatives, to his friends, and therefore he is speaking like a materialistic person, telling Krishna that I cannot fight, because if I kill these people, then how can I enjoy without them? It's not possible. So Bhagavad Gita describes such people as Mudha and Naradhama. In the seventh chapter, Krishna is saying, Namam Dushkritina Mudha Prapadyante Naradhama Maya Aprita Jnanam Asarim Bhavam Asrita. So this is their position. The Buddha, Prabhupada saying in the purport very nicely, is considered like an ass, beast of burden, Prabhupada says. He is carrying a big burden on the back, thinking that by doing this activity, he will get nice grass. But at the same time, he is not able to understand the grass is everywhere. He has to walk outside and he can get enough. But still, he is working and thinking that he is working for himself. Actually, he is working for the master. Illusory master, Prabhupada says. These masters are illusory. Because they seem to give you happiness, but actually they are not giving any happiness. So he is working very hard, but does not really know for whom he is working. Either for himself, because he could get nicely otherwise, and he is working for the master who is illusory. So this is the situation. Then Prabhupada is comparing the materialistic people, especially in cities, who work very hard. But how much they can eat ultimately? The same 2 chapatis or 4 chapatis, maybe less, because they develop ulcers, Prabhupada says. Because they work hard in the night, they cannot sleep properly. As a result, they develop indigestion in the stomach and they cannot eat properly. So although they are working hard to enjoy, ultimately they cannot enjoy. They develop ulcers. And sometimes this ass, he sings poetry and speaks philosophy. You know, it's like brain. But such poetry and philosophy only disturbs others, Prabhupada says. It is of no use. It only disturbs. Similarly, materialistic people may speak many philosophy, many arguments they give to defend themselves. Like Arjun, he knows he is an intelligent person still because he has come under the influence of materialistic life, enjoyment propensity. Immediately he is not able to discern and he is saying, Krishna, I cannot fight. So they try to give all kind of excuses using logic and reasoning just to do whatever they are doing and suffer in the way. So, their philosophy and their singing poetry, whatever it may be, it only disturbs. It doesn't enable one to reach proper conclusion. So, this is the situation. And such people cannot understand what is Krishna consciousness or what is real happiness. Why? Because their activity is always by the senses and for the senses. They cannot come out of it. It's a fact that everybody is seeking for happiness. The jiva, the living entity by nature, is anandamaya abhyasat. He is searching for happiness. But this particular section of people, they are almost 100%. But still, they are searching for happiness in the senses. That is, they are looking for the happiness in wrong place. How is it so? And it is not possible. It is said, the sense gratification and happiness, they are mutually exclusive. Mutually exclusive means, they are not depending on each other. The happiness has got nothing to do with sense gratification, and sense gratification has got nothing to do with happiness. Just like, Prabhupada gives example, fish and land are mutually exclusive. A fish, it cannot be happy if it is in the land. One may offer it very nice foodstuff. One may offer television show, like there is a nice cartoon which shows these things. Television show or some enjoyment this way or that way, or give him the best bait in the land, it will not appreciate. The fish happiness lies in the water. Similarly, the spirit soul seeking happiness in the spiritual level, because that is its nature. However, those who are completely engrossed in sense gratifications, they cannot come to this conclusion. It's very difficult. The material happiness is very temporary. And they're being frustrated again and again. They try again and again. But they're not ready to come out of it. So once in IIT I was telling this, how this material happiness is temporary. Krishna also speaks in Gita that yahi sangsparsha ya bhoga dukha yena evate adi antavanta tu konte na tesu ramate buddha. That the sense and sense object, when they come in contact, that becomes a breeding ground for misery. Yoni in a place where things are cultivated or they become breeding ground, yoni. So when sense and sense objects comes in contact, that becomes the breeding ground for misery. Dukkha yona evate. Adi antabanta tu kaunteya. There is a beginning, adi. There is an end, anta. Therefore, those who are intelligent, they don't take any interest in it. Natasu ramate Buddha. The Buddhas, the intelligence, they don't become affected, or they are not interested in such pleasure. Now, when I was speaking this, I said, anything that is temporary, not worth trying. Then a student in IIT, he was challenging. He was saying, okay, one may try, say, rasgulla. I was giving this example. One start eating rasgulla, 1, 2, 3, 4. There is some enjoyment, but ultimately there will be diarrhea. There will be loose motion and suffering. But he says, okay, he will try 1 or 2, then he will change. He will change to another kind of happiness. Pyulendal, there are so many varieties. So if he is getting frustrated by trying again and again, so he will change it, go to another one. Now what is the problem? The enjoyment is there from different sources. So there is no problem in trying for temporary pleasures. He was arguing like this. So it was kind of challenge. So I told him, anything, if you want something and if you love something, if you really want to enjoy something, then you should not want to stop it. If something is giving pleasure, then you seek it more and more and more. That is the nature of happiness. You cannot give it up. If you are giving it up, then you are contradicting, saying that you are at least accepting that this cannot give unlimited happiness. That means there is something wrong in this philosophy of changing. That means there is frustration. You cannot be happy trying sense pleasure here and there. Besides, senses are lifeless. Senses have no life in itself. Then how can it experience bliss? It's not possible. The spirit soul, being eternal, being full of life, can actually experience bliss. Otherwise, it is not possible. Still, the materialist people cannot appreciate. It's like telling a hog, try this sweetmeat, Prabhupada says. The swine who releases night soil, eats night soil, cannot appreciate sweetmeats. This is the situation. Because they are not able to understand, they are not able to get this higher taste. It's not possible. So Arjun is also bewildered and arguing in a similar line with Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj actually summarizes why these people cannot understand Krishna consciousness. He says, Matirna Krishna Parato Satava Mitho Pipadde Grihat Bhutanam Adanta Govir Visata Tameshram. What is that? Puna puna charbita charbananam. Yes. So these materialistic people, they cannot understand Krishna consciousness. Why? Prahlad Maharaj says, by their own effort, but if someone else tells them, parato means someone else telling them, try to understand Krishna consciousness, then they will not be able to understand. Svatava, by their own effort also they cannot understand. By a combined conference also they cannot understand Krishna consciousness. Grihat Bhutana, because they are attached to household life, simply engaged in materialistic enjoyment. And what is their enjoying? Puna punas charbita charbananam. Chewing the chewed. And they are trying to take some rasa out of it, some juice out of it, but there is actually no juice. But still, they are engaged in such activities, trying to understand. So, then, why they cannot understand? Why they cannot? Because they are engaged in something, that is okay. They are already engaged in something and trying to seek pleasure in that. But still, why they cannot come to Krishna consciousness? So, Prabhupada in Sri Upanishad, in his introduction, he is explaining this very nicely. That the very means through which they are trying to enjoy or seek happiness are defective. The senses are said to be imperfect. senses are imperfect. And through imperfect senses, how can they get perfect happiness? That is not possible. Because the senses are imperfect, they fall into illusion. Just like somebody is seeing a stick in the water, the stick appears to be bent. So one perceives the stick to be bent, but actually the stick is not bent. So that is illusory. Because the senses are defective, but whatever he perceives, that becomes illusory. That is something which it is not. That is Maya. And because his defective senses and he is an illusion, therefore he commits mistakes. And he commits mistakes again and again, because he is again and again relying on defective senses. And when he understands that something is wrong, then he tries to give so many logic and argument just to cover up his own philosophy or support his own philosophy. Therefore he has cheating propensity. So not only Krishna puts Jiva in such a situation because they want to enjoy themselves, but this cheating propensity is also there. So although they are committing so many mistakes, still they are not able to understand, trying to cover up everything. This is cheating propensity. And in this way, it is not possible for them to come to Krishna consciousness. They are completely entrapped in their own circle. So this is about materialistic people who are trying to understand who is Krishna, but ultimately fails in their endeavor. Then there is fruitive activities, perform of fruitive activities or Vedic rituals, perform of Vedic rituals. This category of people, they are little refined. And their ultimate aim is to actually seek sense gratification. But they don't want to do it in a refined way. So again, Arjuna was saying among various points how enjoyment is a point for which he is not supposed to fight. And another argument he gives that if we fight, then sin will overcome us. And therefore I should not fight. That means he has knowledge of Vedas. He knows what is karma. He knows what is reaction to karmas, good reaction, bad reaction. Therefore, he is mentioning Vedas that if you don't perform or perform a bad duty, then there will be sinful reaction for which you have to suffer. That means he is a believer of Vedic rituals. But just see what is the interesting point is here. Is Arjun is speaking to Krishna and quoting Shastra. And Krishna, he himself is the author of all Shastras. And Arjuna is arguing, telling him Shastras, why you should not fight. So this is the basically general behavior of people. So when we go to preach, we see people, we meet people, they sometimes say you should do this, you should do that. But we have to hear it patiently. Just like Krishna is hearing patiently. Although he is author himself, still he is tolerating, he is hearing, okay, till the point he surrenders. So we can see this category of people, although they believe in Vedic ritualistics, still they do it for sense gratification. Krishna says, Brahma Samhita, and like Prabhupada says, also quoting in Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedesu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. That Krishna, who is Advaitam Achyutam, he is infallible, without second. He is the origin of everything. He is the oldest, still he is prime youth. Still, who can understand? Who can accept him as such? For those who are performing Vedic rituals, it is not possible. Vedesu durlabham. If you search Krishna in Vedas, it is very, very rare that you can actually find. Durlabham means very, very rare. Adurlabham atma bhakto. But devotees of the Lord, for him, is very easily reachable. Adurlabham. So this is the situation. Still, people perform Vedic rituals. So those who perform Vedic rituals, they cannot find Krishna in Vedas. And Vedic rituals, especially in this age of Kali, is not effective. People may try to perform Vedic rituals for sense gratifications, but they will not be successful. It's very difficult. Actually, this is a kind of benediction. Just like the Vedas, these ritualistic things, they have actually lost the potency to give results in this age. It's not possible. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says, in Kali Yuga, the Vedic rituals have no meaning. Just imagine we have now cars or automobiles which are running on petrol or fuel, that is petroleum fuel. Now after certain time, certain age, the whole fuel tank may get exhaust. There will be no more fuel. Then can we run these vehicles? There may be driver, there may be car, but if there is no fuel, how can you run it? Similarly, the Vedic rituals are there, drivers, so-called drivers are there, but they cannot actually know how to perform the sacrifice. There are no fit brahmanas, qualified brahmanas are present in this age to perform Vedic rituals. And the fuel is ghee. And nowadays there is no pure ghee available. So, although the rituals are there, the yajnasalas are there, but there is no pure ghee. So how can you perform sacrifices? It's not possible. So in this age, we can see that the Vedic rituals have lost meaning and one cannot derive any results. So this is a kind of benediction that people can immediately take to Krishna consciousness. Like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says, Vedic rituals have no meaning. The only way one can progress in spiritual path is through Sankirtan, Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya movement. Also, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, while he appears to be recommending Arjuna to fight on the principles of enjoyment as well as Vedic rituals, it's interesting to see that Arjuna is giving arguments based on Shastra not to fight, and Krishna, because he is of course author of the Shastras, he uses the same logic, same Shastra, to defeat his own arguments of Arjuna. So Arjuna is saying, I will not fight because sin will overcome. He says, if you not fight, sin will overcome. Because it's a duty of Kshatriya to fight, and if you don't perform your duty, that will be sinful. He says, I will not be able to enjoy. He says, if you don't kill, if you don't fight, then that is, first of all, overcoming your duty as a Kshatriya. And if you kill, those who kill go to heavenly planets, and if you get killed, you will go to heavenly planets, thus you will enjoy. And if you lose, then the kingdom of whole earth is there at your disposal to enjoy. So he is also using Shastras. You can go to heavenly planets by doing good karma, bad karma, but using the same logic to defeat Arjuna. So logic, knowledge of Shastra, everything is okay, but unless there is a guide, one can potentially give a conclusion which is completely contradictory to the sweet will of the Lord, you can say. So here Krishna wants Arjuna to fight, but because he is little rebellious, so he is using Shastra and everything not to follow his order instruction. So logic, scholarship and all these things may not help one to come to Krishna consciousness. Only if there is a proper guide, it may be possible. Because logic is not enough in itself. So, this is about performing Vedic rituals. We are trying to perform Vedic rituals, but they are not able to get the results. Krishna also, while recommending this kind of philosophy, still rejects. In the same chapter, while he says, you should perform your duties as a Kshatriya and you can get heavenly kingdom or kingdom on the earth, at the same time, he says one should perform duty without any attachment. Then he extends a higher concept. A concept where he says one should act, one should do work for the works itself, not getting attached to the results. Nishkama karma. So while recommending that, he also recommends Bhakti Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, Prabhupada says in second chapter. And while introducing this Buddhi Yoga, first Krishna glorifies this process. And while glorifies this process, and then he criticizes the previous process. So this is like double support, two-point support. First, he rejects the previous thing by criticizing that, and then he glorifies the process it is about to disclose. So this is the position of karmakanda or Vedic rituals. He says those who are very less intelligent, they are attached to the flowery words of Vedas, which promises sense gratification in a refined way. So one should not take interest in it. That is what Krishna recommends. Because if one takes interest, they cannot actually get Krishna. Then there are mental speculators. So yesterday, Devanand Pandit Prabhu, he described very nicely the mental speculations, how they cannot get Krishna. So I'll just say one point, that this scientist especially wanted to know the mind of God. But it is not possible. Just try to imagine a computer. This computer, supposing it's a living entity. A computer, if it tries to know the mind of programmer, is it possible? The computer can never know the mind of the programmer. Similarly, no matter how qualified a person may be, how big scholar he may be, he can never understand the mind of God. It is impossible. And such attempt will bound to frustrate. He is definitely going to be frustrated. There is no other way. So such people can never get Krishna. Then what is the solution? So Prabhupada is also giving the solution in the purport. I'll even summarize that. That we can see in this world, almost 100% people are furtive activities. They believe in materialistic activities. And therefore they cannot get Krishna. So it is possible only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, Prabhupada says. A devotee, he does not want to know the mind of God, rather he wants to serve the Lord, the senses of the Lord. So in two places of the purport, at least, Prabhupada is saying how such a person who is engrossed in materialistic activity can actually come to Krishna. One, if he receives directly the favor of the Lord, which is very rare, which is not the case. At least all of us, many of us who had a background of enjoying in a fruitive, in a way the materialistic people do. Like those who come to Bombay especially, or those who want to go abroad, they want to have success in materialistic field. Unless they come in contact with devotees, it is not possible. The devotees, Prabhupada says in the purport, that when a devotee blesses another devotee, then it's possible for him to overcome karmakanda and jnanakanda. It's possible for him to overcome or give up the fruitive activities. Why? Because when one devotee blesses another devotee, the Supreme Lord also takes interest, and from within he purifies the person. And thus, he develops a spiritual taste and gives up the sense gratification which is compared to stool. So, then how is it possible? We can... I can take one example. Okay, I'll take that later. How is it possible? Because in contact with devotees, the senses of the materialistic people gets purified gradually. What does it mean to get a purified senses? What does it mean to have a purified sense? It means to use the senses in the service of the Lord. That is a purified senses. The senses may be the same, but the only thing is it has to be used in the service of the Lord. And a devotee, a pure devotee especially, can perfectly guide a person how to use it. Otherwise, senses are impure. Impure means they cannot give you pleasure. Pure means they can give you pleasure. In a pure state, we can understand happiness. That's why cleanliness is one of the regulative principles, to have cleanliness. Because cleanliness automatically gives bliss, happiness. So here, one has to purify the senses. And how it happens? Prabhupada gives the example of this iron in contact with fire. When iron, which is black, dull, comes in contact with fire, it becomes also fiery, red hot. It becomes effulgent and like fire. So similarly, when the spirit soul comes in contact with supreme soul, or those who are spiritual person, that contact becomes live, and that is experience of spiritual happiness. So as long as the iron is in contact with fire, it will be red hot, it will be effulgent, it will be pure. But as soon as it comes out, again it becomes dull and black. Similarly, the senses are lifeless. They have no power to release happiness. But when they are in contact with the Supreme, in contact with devotees, pure devotees, they experience that bliss. And as soon as they come out, again they become lifeless and has no power to release happiness. So this is the situation. And how it happens? The Prabhupada says, adau sridha tatha sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, then anath nibhuti. That the senses, when the materialistic people, they come in touch with devotees, and then by that touch, by that acquaintance, because they experience something good, then that makes them come back to them again and again. So that is because they develop Shraddha. Then by association, more and more, they are engaged in bhajana kriya, or the purification begins. And the best way to purify, Prabhupada says in this age, the Lord Chaitanya propagates, is chanting the holy name, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this way, one can actually start purifying the senses rigorously. And in Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami instructs that one should chant this holy name with great care and attention. First is attention, then care, then with great care and attention. So there are different levels. Like Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is like playing mridanga. Playing mridanga means once you hear, then you like it, that is Shraddha. You like it, then you try to play it, but you are not able to play it. Right? It takes time. Then somehow you just practice more and more and more and more. Then one day, you will be able to play nicely. Similarly, first we have to bring attention, then care, then with great care and attention. Then we can actually release the holy name at that stage. And all this phase, while I am trying to chant the holy name with great care and attention, is called anartha nibruti, or purifying the senses. This process continues. And in this way, when one has a purified sense, he can actually perceive the Lord and start serving the Lord. Hrishikena Hrishikesa Sevan Bhakti Ruchyate. And with his purified senses, he can serve the Lord, and that is bhakti. So, when one comes in touch with the Lord, the Supreme Lord, he becomes purified, and in that way, he can actually experience the bliss. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he went to Lord Vishnu, and because he went to Vishnu, Lord Vishnu arranged spiritual master Narad Muni, and with this contact with devotee, he could understand, realize Vishnu ultimately. Hiranyakashipu, he went to Lord Brahma, he was frustrated in his attempt ultimately. So when you go to devotees and Krishna, we are successful. So Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate way by which one can actually owns the favor of Lord Krishna, and in that way he can gain Krishna or understand Krishna. So although Krishna is recommending so many processes in Bhagavad Gita, ultimately he recommends Bhakti Yoga. It is like Hobson's choice. There is something called Hobson's choice. I learned with this. Hobson's choice means there was a person who was selling horses in England. He had many horses in his what do you call, godown, stock, what is it, stapple. And when a person comes to buy, he will, after many horses, he will show 7 or 8, as if he is giving him many choices to choose. But then he will put so many conditions that ultimately the buyer has to buy the one horse which he wants him to buy. This is called Hobson's choice. Although there appears to be many choices, but actually there is no choice. Similarly, although Krishna is giving so many choices in Bhagavad Gita, ultimately it is Bhakti Yoga through which one can understand Krishna. And in this way, he can perfectly be happy and go back to Godhead. So thank you very much. So it's already time. Any comments? श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। मंत्र श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय।